Thank you so much. It's a real privilege to share with you today. And my husband actually was supposed to be preaching today. And he's good with the word. But he's actually struggling with a sore back today, or has been for about 10 days. So we're believing for healing for him. And my topic this morning is, you are stronger than you think you are. You are stronger than you think you are. Say it to the person next to you, maybe on your right. Everybody will be turning to their right. All right, I might get you to say that a few times over the next half an hour. So, our message this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13, right through to chapter 4, and the first 4 to 11 verses there. I'm not going to read those right now, but we are going to have some scriptures coming up as we go through. So Jesus was just a human being like you and I when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And of course, John struggled to get his head around baptizing the Messiah, because he knew who Jesus really was. But Jesus insisted that it was proper. It was the right thing. It was what his Father had told him he must do, and he wanted to obey. As soon as Jesus came up from the waters, the Holy Spirit came upon him with power and anointing. And of course, God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love." And a dove came and rested upon him, symbolizing what was happening. And quite often we see that God uses natural things to confirm spiritual things. And that was what was taking place there. After this, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, into the wilderness. Jesus knew what was happening. He'd been fasting and praying probably all of his life, you know, on and off. So, in fact, we know that he got up in the middle of the night and went and spent time with the Lord. So he was always constantly hearing the will of God. So he knew what was happening. He had fasted and prayed in preparation for what was coming. And after the 40 days, the devil turned up. In some translations, it says the accuser, the enemy. He could see that Jesus was clearly very hungry, physically weak from fasting, and I'm sure he must have thought, he's so frail, I've got him. So the devil began to tempt Jesus, and this is, you can read that in Matthew 4, 1 to 11. But you know what, things are not always as they seem. And today we're going to talk about true food, true life, true strength, and true work. Firstly, true food. When the devil tempted Jesus the very first time, suggesting that he, being the Son of God, should turn a stone into bread because he was hungry, so why should the Son of God go hungry? Good temptation. Clever. Jesus' response was this: "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." One morning I woke up and this sentence was in my head, and I was thinking, yeah, that's actually quite a cool sentence. Wanted to think about it a little bit more. We cannot live by bread alone. Man cannot live by bread alone. Woman cannot live by bread alone. You know, bread's a really important product, food. It's been the daily staple for most countries for thousands of years. It's played an integral role culturally. It has kept humans alive through wars and famines. It was named the staff of life in the 17th century by a well-known Bible commentator, Matthew Henry. It fell from heaven as manna, a gift from God to the Israelites to feed the people in the desert. And of course, the Last Supper that the disciples had with Jesus before he died had bread and wine. And that is when bread became the symbol of the body of Christ for us. It's the how we remember what Jesus did for us. That's communion. So bread is part of that for us, the symbolism of bread. And of course, it features highly in the recorded miracles. Jesus multiplied bread to feed crowds. So bread is highly important. But Scripture tells us that we cannot live by bread alone. It's not enough. And Jesus is reminding us that earthly food will never be enough to nourish or sustain us spiritually, because we're more than flesh. We are spirit. We cannot live by bread alone. We need manna from heaven. Real food, true food that will enable our spirits to really live as Jesus did. And when Jesus was in the wilderness and he replied to that first temptation of the devil, he quoted the scripture that we've just listened to, but it was from Deuteronomy. So let's just read what that is in Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you, meaning the Israelites, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Notice that the scriptures say, cause the Israelites to hunger, then fed them with manna to teach them that man does not live on bread alone. God wants us to learn the same thing. We cannot do without spirit food. We cannot do without the true food. The scriptures also tell us that Jesus is the bread of life, that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And we see that in John 6:35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Because not only is it talking about putting something into your mouth, it's actually talking about having strength, having everything that we need to live with courage, with power, all of that. Jesus said that his true food is to do the will of the Father. In John 4:34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So if Jesus' food was to do the will of his Father and to finish his work, then what should our food be? It should be to do what Jesus did, to follow after him and to finish his work as we have seen him do. You know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were told to gather up the manna that fell from heaven each day, and God provided for them every day, and he never failed. But he also said, just gather enough for today. Don't get any more than what you need for today. And when they did, that manna went off. It went moldy. It didn't last. Maybe it went hard, I don't know. I wasn't there. But the point was, gather what you had today. And here, I believe God, this was a lesson, this was teaching that I would provide, that he would provide for them just as he would provide for us. And I think about the daily devotion, you know, that's, we're encouraged to have a daily devotion. The devotion that we have today, what God gives to us today, is great for today, but we need another word for tomorrow, because every day is different. God knows what's going to happen today, and he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know that. And so we need a daily devotion. We need daily food. One lot of food for today, one meal, another meal tomorrow. It is a good reminder not to eat the food of the world. What are we filling our minds, our spirits, our souls with? What TV programs, what movies, what podcasts? What are we listening to? Who do we hang out with? Whatever we feed our minds with, it actually has an impact. good or bad? Have you heard the saying, we are what we eat? I think it strongly applies. Strongly applies. True food, Jesus, the bread of life. We must feed on him, feast on him, consume him, partake him, partake of him, nourish ourselves on him. True food. What about true life? When we're going through life struggles, and we've sung some great songs about that this morning, absolutely perfect songs. When we're going through life struggles, as we all do, or a deep wilderness experience, we can easily fall back into our old ways of going without God, without Jesus, without the bread of life, and comforting ourselves with natural food and worldly experiences. When we're doing that, we're actually trusting in ourselves and not in God. That is not going to end well, but the Bible tells us not to return again to our captivity because Jesus died for our freedom. Even the Israelites grumbled and complained, saying, "Why did you deliver us from evil? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We want to go back. At least we had the food that we like." The comfort food, the fast food. At least we had a roof over our heads. But they took their eyes off God and the many wonderful things that he'd already done, miracles included. He'd done incredible things for him, for them. And it was like God hadn't done it. Good reminder to think about, what has God already done for me? Many things, and lots of things that we probably don't even know about. In the same way, we too often return to our old comforts as soon as life is a little difficult. We go back to doing things our own way, our old way, leaning on the choice, our choice of comfort food, maybe alcohol, shopping, moaning and groaning, negative thinking, negative talking. We may return to our old behaviors, so we are less like Jesus and more like our old selves. But Jesus tells us to leave that life behind and take on his life, the true life. He says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot live for him and have another life going on in the background. You cannot declare your love for Jesus on Sunday and during the week be out doing worldly things that are not the ways of the kingdom. If Jesus wouldn't do it, then we shouldn't do it. Right after Jesus had been baptized, he was full of the Holy Spirit, powerfully anointed, and he was prepared for ministry. He must have been really excited about what he was going to achieve. It was time. He was 30 years old. He'd already lived 30 years, getting prepared for this great time. He was ready. And then the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, a desert place, a place where there were no comforts, no fast food, no movies, no people to encourage him, no social media, nothing of earthly value. And we know that when the devil comes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He might whisper sweet nothings in our ear, but they're not good. It's lies. It's deception. It leads to destruction. And we know that Jesus came to give life, true life, rich life, abundant life in all its fullness. And in the wilderness, Jesus knew the drill. He'd already fasted and prayed. He was ready for the devil. He had experienced him before. So he quoted words that he heard his father say. Words of life. And those words were devastating to the enemy. Immediately. Jesus is our model for true life. You know, little children are really quick to pick up the words and phrases of their dad or their mum. And I've got a little grand nephew that's been here recently, And he's so cute. He's three. His name's Tommy. And he's such a great communicator already. If you were listening to him and you couldn't see him, you'd probably think he was six. He's, you know, he just comes in full adult conversation, saying all the big words. He can tell you all the names of all the dinosaurs I've never heard of. And he's incredible. And he just blows me away how you can have this full-on conversation with him, almost like he's an adult. He's amazing. And when he says the phrases and some of his questions and responses, he sounds like his dad, my nephew. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sound like our dad, like our real dad, our true dad. Let's repeat the words of our father. They have power. They give us life. You know, the word Christian means Christ-like or like Christ. If we do not imitate Jesus, we will be weak and lifeless, spiritually hungry and without purpose. We won't have the strength to face the enemy, and we won't have the power to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus came here to save the world from their sin, and he's done that. He defeated the enemy, he defeated sin and death, and he's modeled how to live. He's modeled true life. We know that Jesus was human when he was here on earth, and sometimes we forget about that. We just think he was the Son of God, but he was human. He didn't have all his divine power. But just like us, we have access. But what did human Jesus do? He was obedient to the Father. He was baptized in water. He prepared for his ministry and the test that was coming. He prayed and fasted to hear the will of his Father. The Holy Spirit empowered him and anointed him. He overcame the enemy by declaring his Father's words. That's exactly what we are called to do, too. To imitate, to be like, to do exactly the same thing. So true life comes from obedience and declaration of every word from the mouth of God. True food, true life, and true strength. Yeah, there's kind of a fake strength and a real strength. We can look pretty good in our human independence, being strong, but that's only going to go so far. There is purpose in every wilderness experience. And I think there's some people here today, probably quite a few people, experiencing a bit of a wilderness time at the moment. And I just really want to encourage you. You are stronger than you think you are. Just say that to the person next to you. You're stronger than you think you are. So there is purpose in every wilderness experience. We all have them. They're tough, but they're not without reason, objective, or goal. For Jesus, the purpose was to reveal and establish his strength against the accuser, against the devil. Awesome, eh? To reveal and establish his strength against the devil. Notice the pattern of events here. I hope we get encouragement from this. Jesus was obedient in baptism. Then he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then he received temptation. Then he gained victory. And then the beginning of his ministry with a new level of power. So when you're going through a tough time, it's going to be over soon. You're going to have a new level of power. You're going to gain victory. It's not a bad thing. When you start something in the world, you prepare so you are ready. start something in the natural. You prepare so you're ready, so you're strong and so you're powerful. And in the world, we really care about what we look like. I don't think in the wilderness Jesus was too worried about that. It's important in the world that we look good, that we appear good. But just before Jesus started his ministry, he was weak from hunger. He was alone. He had no social encouragement or endorsements. And he had an enemy attack. Sounded pretty bad. And from there on, he had victory, right? That is your inheritance. That is my inheritance. Because God's kingdom is different. 1 Corinthians 1:2, but God, 1:27, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He takes the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So if you're feeling foolish and weak today, hallelujah. There's good things coming for you. You see, if we're feeling foolish, we've made some dumb mistakes, we don't feel like we look good, if we're feeling really weak, if then we surrender to God, he can use us, and he can use us powerfully. So you're stronger than you think you are, right? 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why, says Paul, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's okay. Tell yourself right now, it's okay. I'm fine. It's going to be okay. Jesus appeared weak to the enemy, but he was actually filled with the Spirit, anointed, full of power, and the Word of God ready to start in his new ministry and to overcome the enemy. The enemy was completely foiled because what it looked like was not what it was, okay? Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested with this purpose to reveal his strength against the accuser. The testing was for revelation of his strength. Jesus was human with divine strength. Testing, no matter what kind of testing you're doing, it always produces results, right? Results that teach us something. At the moment, we're constantly testing for COVID. And the test always produces something, right? Good or bad. We learn something we didn't already know. We embrace new knowledge that gives us power to help us overcome in a wilderness time. Just like Jesus, we are not powerless. We may feel weak, but we are strong. It is not how we feel that counts, it's who we are. We must come to the understanding we are stronger in Jesus than we think we are. So how often do we complain when we've just had a great time of encouragement, getting prepared for ministry, full of the Holy Spirit, pumped and ready to go, and the next minute we're being attacked? What happened to Jesus? And he's the Son of God, so why shouldn't it happen to us? It's okay. You're stronger than you think you are. When I think back to the wilderness experiences that I've had, yeah, they were nasty. Some of them worse than others. You know, in the middle of it, you think, is this ever going to end? Is it going to go on for 40 days and 40 nights, just like the Israelites? Or 40 years? 40 years. Is it going to go on for 40 years? It feels so bad, but in those wilderness times, aren't you completely confused? Aren't you often losing the knowledge of who you really are? It's so bad, you just can't see how it could ever get better. But it's okay. It's going to finish, and you're stronger than you think you are. I can honestly say that I can look back on the wilderness experiences that I've had and what God did in those times through me and the testing what it produced in my life, I can actually thank God for it. I don't actually look back on those times as a horror movie that actually happened to me. Some of it felt like that, but that's all completely healed because I'm fully focused on the great things that God has done in my life and how he's healed me and set me free. So we don't need to look at these wilderness experiences as the worst thing on earth. Yeah. I encourage you to do the same because through these wilderness experiences, God produces true strength. Not a worldly strength, not a natural strength, a divine strength. So true food, true life, true strength, would hate to have to say that really fast, now true work. Jesus had been preparing and the Father had prepared him for 30 years for this ministry, for his true, genuine, real, most important work ever, the salvation plan. He was here for a purpose, and it was the Father's will that he was delighted to accomplish. He took the Father's work seriously. It was the family business. He was fully on board, even though he knew it meant laying down his life. In John 6, 38 and 39, it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day." You are just like Jesus. You are here for a purpose. The Father has been preparing you for this true work. Each one of you, there's not one person in this room that this is not true for. It's a work that won't be temporary, it won't be short, it will have value for eternity, forever, from when you were born, from now. He's saying to you right now, and he has always been saying it to you, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Jesus said this about his true work. And we know this scripture, Matthew 4, 18 and 19, was something that he said, but it is ours also. It is our true work. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and you, for he has anointed you and I to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you and I to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." I want to tell you that you have a backing from heaven just like Jesus did. All of heaven is behind you. Just as Father God spoke about Jesus on the day of his baptism and said, as we can read in Matthew 3:17, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy.'" Even if you feel weak, you are strong. Even if you don't feel ready, if you feel powerless, you are God's girl. You are God's son. You are powerful in Jesus' name, and you are stronger than you think you are. And then in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 11, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So you probably think in your head, but I'm not really that good at this, or I've got this, or I can't do this. There's always reasons. But Paul had weaknesses, and he just kept going forward. And he just said, yeah, I've got weaknesses. I've got so many reasons why I can't. I say I can't. But the Lord is saying, arise, shine, for your light has come, and you are stronger than you think you are. You've got the backing of heaven. Remember Peter. I love Peter. He does the stuff. We'd all be going, nah, don't do that. Gets himself in for trouble. But he's really cool. He is so cool. So remember when he walked on the water? When his eyes were focused on Jesus, the bread of life. He was able to walk on water. Do something that was completely impossible. Do something that nobody was ever expecting that would ever happen. And when he took his eyes off the bread of life, Jesus, and looked at the water, looked at the storm, he began to sink. He lost his focus, he lost his trust and faith. He began to be submerged in the great ocean of worry and fear. Is that what happens to you and me sometimes? Take our eyes off the bread of life and then all of a sudden we're sinking in worry and fear. Peter was here to do great things, not just walk on water. He actually preached the first sermon. It was a pretty great one. He led many to Christ. He did many miracles in Jesus' name. And you too are called to do great things, impossible things, things of eternal value. But I need the true food. We can't do without the bread of life. We can't do without true life, God's words. We can't do without true strength from the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. You can't do these things without God, but you can with Him. Do you want to miss out on all that excitement? I don't. True food, true life, true strength, and true work, the will of the Father, what He's called you to do. A teenage girl told me about 12 years ago, you are stronger than you think you are. And obviously it stuck with me all this time. I'd only just met this young lady. She was the same age as my daughter. And I thought it was quite interesting that she would come up and say this to a new friend's mum. It was probably the second time we spoke. Obviously she has a prophetic gift and she was using it. She would have been like 17 or 18, maybe 18, 19, kind of there. I was a bit inspired by her, but before I got to the inspiration, my immediate response was not great. I was thinking, awesome, I don't think I want to be stronger than I think I am, because that's hard. And I want to go through hard times. But I'm really glad she told me that, because it's kept me going. Because I am stronger than I think I am. And even when I'm in tough times, devil, you better watch out. Because I'm getting to know what I'm actually capable of. And I want to encourage you to do the same. The wilderness experience will finish. God is faithful. You will not fail. God will not fail you. You're going to be okay. Just like Jesus, you believe. You've been baptized, and if you haven't, then we'd love to help you out with that. You're Holy Spirit filled and anointed, and if you're leaking, we'd like to help you out with that. You declare the very word of God, and I want to encourage you to do that even more. Your strength will be revealed through your surrendered life. You are stronger than you think you are. The whole of heaven is backing you. You are tougher than you know. You are more resilient, more sound, more clever, and more compelling. You're more formidable and effective than you feel. You are Jesus with skin on. The bread of heaven makes you strong. You are stronger than you think you are. So what are we going to go do, church? What are we going to do? We're going to do everything that God's called us to do, and we're going to do it in His strength. I just want to encourage you guys, if there's anyone here that's going through a wilderness experience, we'd love to pray for you. If there's anyone here that doesn't really know the bread of life, Jesus, we'd love to pray for you for that too. And if you've been leaking and you're feeling a bit weak, it's okay. We've all been like that. I've been like that. Come and get some love, some encouragement, some prayer as the musicians come. And that's what we're here for, the body of Christ, to encourage one another. And I just want to encourage you today, you are stronger than you think you are. So as Monty leads, if you'd like to come forward for any of those things, you're really welcome to.
Praise the Lord. What a great word, eh? Yeah, did that encourage you in your spirit? Yeah, it's been stronger than what you realize you are. You know, I love that. That passage, 1 Corinthians, was it 2:27? About God choosing the foolish things. Very first sermon I ever preached. You know, I was so unschooled, so untrained, so, you know, inadequate in many, many ways, and always blowing the mission. Anybody blown the mission before? You know, fall flat on your face and all that kind of stuff, you know. And that passage of scripture, God deliberately chooses the foolish things and deliberately chooses the weak things, and to show His power and His strength. And so I just want to support what Janine is saying in terms of receive prayer today, because it's good to receive the word of God. It's great to receive the word of God. It's also good.